Radio Prague News.
Firefighters worked overnight on Friday to evacuate dozens of residents after North Moravia was hit by heavy rain and renewed flooding. Politicians and other attendees have taken part in a memorial ceremony in Prague honoring victims of the former communist regime. Former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman has told Bravo he might consider a return to politics after the autumn election. Heavy rain complicated conditions and led to renewed flooding in 17 towns and villages in northern Moravia late on Friday. Overnight, 300 firefighters worked to save 64 people and evacuate 150 individuals after their homes were hit by floodwaters. One person, a volunteer firefighter, was reported missing. On Saturday, crews found the body of a 12th flood victim in the area. The man has not yet been identified. Meteorologists are warning, meanwhile, that the danger is not over. Areas of northern and central Moravia, as well as southern Bohemia, could be hit by additional flooding in the coming days. More than 500 soldiers are now on site in Moravia operating heavy machinery, and additional backup is on its way. Damage caused by the flash floods, which began on Wednesday, has already been estimated at hundreds of millions of crowns. Dozens of people, including Justice Minister Daniela Kovářová, took part in a memorial ceremony for the victims of communism on Saturday at a memorial site at Prague's Petřín Hill. The ceremony marked the 59th anniversary of the death of democratic politician Milada Horáková, executed following a Stalinist show trial by the former communist regime. Numerous politicians attended, including Prague Mayor Pavel Bem. He stressed that the majority of those who suffered under the former regime remained largely unknown to the public. A five-day conference centering on the return of property looted from Jews during World War II began in Prague on Friday. The conference, the last major event of the Czech EU presidency, was launched by Nobel Peace Prize winner and concentration camp survivor Elie Wiesel. The Holocaust-era assets conference is to take stock of moves so far to return property to victims and their relatives. The Czech daily Pravo has written that former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman is considering a return to politics. Mr. Zeman headed a minority social democrat government for 4 years, from 1998 until 2002. In his interview for Saturday's Pravo, he said that he would consider founding a new leftist party after the upcoming early elections, if the Social Democrats and their right-wing rivals, the Civic Democrats, agree on a grand coalition. Another motivating factor would be a deepening of the current economic crisis. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Overcast conditions with a chance of rain, but also intermittent sunny periods are expected into Sunday. Daytime temperatures should reach highs of around 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the end of the news. Hello, and welcome to Radio Prague's weekend program with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's show, we'll have some of the most unusual stories from the Czech Republic this week in another edition of Magazine. Also, those of you who love learning about the Czech language will have another sound check for you, followed by our one-on-one interview. This week it's with Ruth Ellen Gruber. She's an expert on Jewish heritage and Europe's country music. So stay tuned for all of that. Now let's begin with some of the weird and wonderful in Magazine, hosted by our very own Daniela Lazarová.
A dozen or so peace activists stripped to the waist last Saturday and marched through the city centre topless in an effort to draw people's attention to the annual World March for Peace due to take place in Prague on November the 2nd and 3rd. 23-year-old Jana Jidličková, who organised the Breasts for Peace event, said the group had decided to follow the example of activists in Paraguay because the public and the media pay so much attention to breasts and bottoms that bearing them is is the fastest way to get your message across. If showing a little skin is what it takes to make people listen, we'll do it, she said. The girls wore nothing but body paint from the waist up and turned plenty of heads, though the march was briefly disrupted by an afternoon rain shower which made the girls quickly hop onto a passing tram for cover. Peace activists are hoping to turn this year's Peace March into a multicultural festival that will attract thousands of people. Meanwhile, on the Vltava River near Prague's famous Charles Bridge, the country's top diplomats were in action, enacting a symbolic handover of the Czech EU presidency to Sweden. Crowds of onlookers watched in amazement as the Czech Minister for EU Affairs, Stefan Fille, and his predecessor, Alexander Vondra, passed a keg of beer from the Czech boat to the Swedish one, where representatives of the Swedish embassy sat waiting to accept the heavy load. We were looking for a symbol of the Czech presidency that we could pass to the Swedes, and I think we chose well, the Czech Minister for EU Affairs, Stefan Fille, told journalists. The Czech Republic, which holds the EU presidency until June 30th, boasts the highest beer consumption per capita in the world. The 42-kilogram keg was transferred without mishap, though in a rather wobbly fashion. But then there are many who tell you it was the perfect end to a rather wobbly presidency. A crowd of 7,000 student protesters took to the streets of Prague a week ago in protest against the government's plan to introduce uniform school-leaving exams. Well, it's not school-leaving exams as such they were protesting against, but the plan to make them uniform, which they claim is poorly prepared and has not been properly explained. However, it seems the students themselves have forgotten to do their homework because they ended up throwing tomatoes at the wrong building. Mistaking Liechtenstein Palace for the education ministry, they pelted the building with tomatoes until a policeman came to ask if they knew what they were doing. On being told they'd come to the wrong building, they are reported to have apologized and left in an orderly manner. And the winner is Jiří Paroubek. The Social Democrat leader has not had an easy time of late. After being pelted with eggs as he campaigned in the European elections, he now has the dubious honour of winning the anti-prize Papala Shiroko, or Fat Cat of the Year, a communist-era derogatory term for a politician who is in it for the power and the perks. Paroubek, who is often caricatured as Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons, was elected Papala Shiroko in an internet poll launched by the organisers of the Sokolov Festival of Political Songs. Paroubek stayed home to trim the fence, as he said, but his charming young wife and their dog turned up at the festival to pick up the prize with good grace. Mrs. Paroubkova, who is pregnant with her first baby, gave a nice parody of an Oscar speech and said she would put the prize on their mantel shelf along with the others. The organisers were somewhat taken aback by her presence, saying they never expected anyone to actually turn up, and admitted that Petra Paroubkova's unexpected arrival had actually added to the festival's popularity by attracting far more news people than would have otherwise turned up. The recession is reported to be having an impact on attendance at sports days, social gatherings and cultural events. This week, the town of Králíky, or Rabbitsville, reported a dismally low turnout at its annual get-together of people whose surname is Králík or Králíková, in other words, Mr. or Mrs. Rabbit. The fun event was launched 6 years ago and attendance in recent years had risen to 77. This year, only six Mr. and Mrs. Králiks turned up for a low-key event in Králiki. Jan Králik, the organizer of the rabbits' get-together, said he was convinced that tighter family budgets were to blame. Last year, everyone had a great time and left promising to come back next year. They won't say so, but I'm sure it's because they can ill afford it, he told the CTK news agency. Those who made the journey were disappointed, but intend to keep the tradition alive until the Czech Republic sees better days and the country's rabbits can get back together again.
Rabbits, Wilhelm. Well, I met a Miss Králiková once. Have no idea if she attended this event or not, but by the sounds of it, probably not. If your name is Králik, or even if it isn't, don't forget you can write to us here at Radio Prague. It's as easy as pie. The address to write to is Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or you can write to english@radio.cz if you prefer the internet. Moving on, sound check, teaching Czech sayings through song lyrics, and this week that is hosted by Pavla Horáková.
Zelený jak sedma jsem dneska ráno vstal. Teď je dávno jedna a je mi jen tak tak.
Welcome to sound check. In last week's edition, you learnt all about green lights, green brains, and green Thursdays. And today we'll take a look at another phrase using the word green, zelený. The word is often used to describe the color of a person's face when they're not feeling all too well. Today's song is sung by the 1980s teen heartthrob duo Petr Kotwald and Stanislav Hložek. It tells the story of a young man who woke up feeling down, but his life miraculously turns for the better after he meets a beautiful girl on a tram. He sings that he woke up in the morning green as a seven of leaves, which is a playing card typical in the Central European region, featuring seven green leaves.
Zelený jak sedma jsem dneska ráno vstal. Teď je dávno jedna a je mi jen.
The phrase goes zelený jak sedma, green as a seven, meaning seven of clubs or seven of leaves to be precise. The color green implies not only sickness in Czech but also envy. Zelený závistí is green with envy. Now back to our song. Our young man is feeling low, but all changes after he meets a freckled girl on the tram. Looking at the girl, the amorous boy concludes that he is na větvi. The phrase sem s tebe na větvi, literally I'm up on a tree branch because of you, means I'm perplexed. In this particular case, the feeling is pleasant and positive. And gradually we witness the singer's complexion turning from green to red.
A v tramvaji jen nával. Protlačíš se ke mně, jsem červený jak rak.
Jsem červený jak rak. I'm red as a crayfish. It is a common Czech phrase, although hardly anyone these days has ever seen a cooked crayfish which turns red in boiling water just like lobsters and the like. So our guy is head over heels in love and sure the feelings are mutual. Judging from the phrase, nejsem na ocet, I'm not on the shelf. Zůstat na ocet, literally to be left for vinegar, means to remain without prospects of marriage.
Pohodě, pohodě, trochu díky na hodě, nejsem na ocet, znám tě tisíce.
So to recap, Zelený jak sedma, that's when you're feeling unwell. If you are perplexed, you are na větvi. And if something makes you blush, you can turn červený jak rak. Finally, if you find a partner to marry, you are no longer na ocet. Thanks for listening today and naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková with another edition of Soundcheck, and that really is one of our most popular long-running mini-series. If you've been following along or if you've just started, you can find the whole series at our website. The address to visit is radio.cz. Happy listening. That takes us to the final portion of today's program. Ruth Ellen Gruber talks to Jan Richter.
For 4 decades, the countries of Eastern Europe were trapped behind the Iron Curtain, attracting only a few travelers from the West. Our guest today in this edition of One on One is the American writer, scholar and photographer Ruth Ellen Gruber, whose reporting career brought her to the communist bloc in the 1970s. She spent time in Belgrade and Warsaw, among other places, and after the fall of communism, she stayed in Europe and became a leading scholar on Eastern European Jewish heritage and the region's country music. Ruth, how do these two interests come together?
These interests come together in a sort of funny way. One of the processes and one of the things that I've been quite interested in and have explored quite a bit in the Jewish sphere is the way that non-Jewish people in Europe, in places where very few, if any, Jews live today, become interested in, appropriate, or use Jewish culture, Jewish traditions for their own purposes, either to form their own identities or out of interest. And I also became interested then in how Europeans are fascinated by the American Wild West and all its trappings and sort of feel at home in that mythology and often use that mythology to sort of inform their own culture. And part of this is country music.
One of your books is entitled Virtually Jewish. What does the term mean?
It stems from the concept that there's a Jewish space in Europe. This is a concept that was sort of brought out by a scholar called Diana Pinto in the 1990s, that there's a Jewish space in Europe that will remain there and be filled even if no Jews live there at all. So it's also sort of like the image of the Jew that continues to haunt post-Holocaust, post-communist Europe. And I was interested in how this Jewish space is filled. And since there are very few Jews here, the Jewish space is often filled by non-Jews in their activities, non-Jewish klezmer bands, Jewish culture festivals that are run by and for non-Jews, and Jewish museums that are set up by non-Jews, all of this type of thing.
You have seen most Jewish heritage sites around the former Soviet bloc. Under communism, most of them were not very well kept and, in fact, left to dilapidate. Are there any differences when you look at the various countries in terms of what they have been doing with the Jewish heritage since the fall of communism?
Yeah, very much so. It varies from country to country, place to place. And the country, I guess, that's been the most dramatically positive in developments has been here in the Czech Republic, where a strategy of dealing with Jewish heritage sites, synagogues, cemeteries, etc., was developed quite early on in the 1990s. And one by one, synagogues in the outlying provinces have been restored. They're sometimes converted to Jewish museums. They're promoted for tourism. And there's been a partnership between the Jewish community, local authorities, sometimes national authorities, and international organizations. In some countries, almost nothing has been done. And in other countries, it's a mixed bag. So there is a dramatically different mindset in many places regarding Jewish heritage sites. People don't ask so much, you know, why restore them anymore. They ask, you know, what to do with them, how to restore them. And in many places now, these sites finally are considered part and parcel of local heritage and national heritage. They're European. They're not a separate Jewish thing the way they once were considered.
Well, apart from all the Jewish heritage sites you've seen, you've also visited many country music festivals in this part of the world. How does country music stand compared to the original country music, that is the American style of country music?
A lot of the country music in Europe is, you know, imitative of the American. And there are a lot of fans and a lot of experts in Europe who will only listen to American country music. They reject any sort of local production. But what's interesting to me is the way that local societies, particularly in Czech Republic and in Germany, and also elsewhere, but in these two countries have sort of developed their own country music. I mean, here you make the distinction between Czech country, that is country music sung in Czech for a Czech audience. This was imposed under communism that to perform publicly, you had to perform in Czech. And the early bands who took English names, like the Greenhorns and Rangers in the 60s, had to change their names even to Czech names. The government mandated this. So there was a real Czech genre created of Czech country, and especially bluegrass has become very, very popular here. And yes, there's the American aspect to it, but there's also a type of the music that is very local, and that I find fascinating.
I remember my parents had an album by one of the most famous Czech country musicians, Michal Tučný, and he recorded that album with American singer Rattlesnake Annie in Czechoslovakia in the early 1980s. Why would an American country music singer come to a communist country back then?
I think Rattlesnake Annie, you know, she came here on invitation, and she and Michal Tučný just simply clicked. And they performed together. They got along very well. And she began a career over here. She was recognized. She toured not just Czechoslovakia as it was, but she also played in East Germany, and she played in West Germany. She played with a lot of European country acts. And she wasn't the first, but she was one of several American artists who made their careers in Europe. The most famous or infamous was Dean Reed, who sang a sort of rockabilly, rock country songs, and also appeared in the sort of East German Wild West films. But Rattlesnake Annie was unusual in that she did this in communist bloc. And the year before last, which would have been the 60th birthday of Tučný, the Country Fontana Festival was held to honor that date, and Rattlesnake Annie came back and sang the duets that she used to sing with Michal Tučný. She sang them with contemporary Czech artists like Petr Kocman and others. And it was a very moving moment. The crowd just, you know, went wild.
You helped translate several songs into English by the bluegrass band Druhá Tráva. They regularly tour the U.S. How are they received over there?
They have a following in the United States. They're known, and they usually, since 1994... until the year before last, they were touring every summer as long as 2 months at a time, as long as, you know, 40 gigs all across the country. And they have been profiled in the media, appeared on National Public Radio and other places like that. And it was interesting. I was able to catch their concert near Los Angeles in 2007, in the fall. And I was astonished to hear that. I wanted to really to hear how they performed in front of an English-speaking American audience. And, the main difference was that they sang more songs in English and fewer songs in Czech, but they sang songs in Czech. And the audience, you know, just ate it up. It was really, really a rapt audience. And what was also very interesting was at the end of the show, the owner of the coffee house did not let them get off stage because he wanted to know how come there's a bluegrass band and bluegrass in Czech Republic. How did you get interested in it? What is this all about? Because even that coffee house owner who had hired them and booked them and loved them, and there were people in the audience who had seen them over and over again whenever they were in the area, even he couldn't figure it out. You know, it was such a strange thing for him. So, you know, they had to stand on stage and sort of answer these questions. And it was really a scene. It was really, really interesting. Really, you know, sort of wacky.
Mm-hmm.
storms are like a breeze. It's like a fiery love. It's like a sharp crystal sea. And the beaches are sad. All of the dark clouds are real. Like black verses of mud on dead red walls of history.
That edition of One on One, which first aired in March of this year, brings us to the end of today's show. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us, and do tune in again soon. Bye-bye.
And like a fool now and then, I see your triumphs of feeling in the arms of another man. I have to think about winning when I shout my own drunken pleas. That after tonight, Lord, I won't love women on Villa Squeeze. Shade of a woman's kiss. An old scared mother, when the lamp is already out, and something doesn't come back from an awful distance of love. Under the corporate one, when I see you again, how you cry, how you rear up above me like an autumn red spanning sky, how you rear up above me like an autumn.